Hello, Audio Boo-land. It is Saturday the 21st of June 2014. This is my 20th Audio Mo Audio Boo. And yes, I still have to catch up. I don't think it will be today. It's 10 minutes after 10 here in Israel in the evening. And before I get into the main subject of my boo, which is going to at least be inspired by the events at Heathrow yesterday, I want to make a correction. I was very sure, in fact, after having read the World Cup 2014 schedule on the Wikipedia page for the FIFA World Cup 2014, that the Australia-Spain match would be today, the 21st of June, at 16 hours Universal Time, at 12 p.m. Eastern, US Eastern. But it turns out that apparently that wasn't correct. The match will, in fact, be on Monday, the 23rd, at the same time. So either I got it wrong or the page was wrong. I'm sure it'd be right now. And it's also at the same time as the Netherlands-Chile match, which is the other two teams in the same group. Australia played Netherlands on Wednesday and lost 3-2, and of which I do not know anything else about that particular match. They also lost their first match 3-1 against Chile, but I did hear that match, and it was not a true reflection of the game at all. Chile were lucky to get away with that result, really. And if Australia had gotten into the game a little earlier, it may have been a bit of a different story. Anyway, I want to start off by talking about what happened yesterday at Heathrow, and I want to broaden it into some concerns generally. What happened yesterday at Heathrow was we flew back from the United States to Israel via London, and we needed, or wanted at least, to take Rosie out in London and had done the required paperwork that allowed us to do that. To give you an idea, Washington to London is about a 7-hour flight. So it's quite a long time, and of course you have to be at the airport some time before that. So by the time I got to Heathrow and out of the aircraft, which was a bit later than it should have been too, because we were late leaving DC, and we were also a bit late being able to disembark the aircraft because of something to do with aircraft placement and stuff like that. It was then some 11 hours after Rosie had been to the toilet. So we were keen to be able to take her out. So, of course, there are some issues trying to take a dog out at an airport. The most primary one among them is that if your dog is not trained to go on concrete, and many aren't, including the dogs here, then you have to find somewhere that's got some dirt or grass. And to do that, at Heathrow at least, there's a couple of places we've managed to find that do have grass, but they both involve going through customs and entering the UK to be able to find those places. And of course, Rosie's paperwork required us to fill out that kind of stuff anyway because they meet her on the aircraft. And it was no big deal for us to enter the UK. In fact, no big deal for me to enter the UK on either of my passports. It's just you go in there and you automatically get a tourist visa. It's not a difficult process at all. So we were prepared to do that. And we did do it on the way over and it caused no great problems. The only thing was that being unsure whether we needed to fill out customs entry cards for the UK on the way over, we hadn't done so, and so we had to do that before we could actually go through. But even so, it was still very straightforward. So the situation is, by the time we got off the aircraft, we had about an hour and a half before the flight was scheduled to depart. It actually didn't depart for another 40 minutes after that, as it turned out, and I don't think we were the people who held it up. I'm pretty sure that there was someone else who held them up even longer, but I'll get back to that. So it's 7:20, we're standing there. We tell them what we need. We tell them we need to take Rosie out, and we tell them what this is going to involve. And so the person there who's down nearby the gate says that she has to get someone else to come to take us, partly because someone else needed to be escorted as well, and etc., etc., etc. So anyway, so we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we ask again, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And it eventually gets to 8:05, so we've been there for 3/4 hour, half the time that we have before our flight leaves. And we say to her, we don't have time anymore to take Rosie out. And it's like, we're waiting. It's like, no, we don't have time. We have a flight. Our flight's going to start boarding in 25 minutes. We don't have time anymore. And so anyway, common sense prevails, and she decides that she'll take us herself. And so we get down to the lower level, and she goes to finally speaks to someone at the airline, which proves to me that the ground assistance is not hired by the airline, which I'll get back to in a minute. And as soon as the person from the airline gets involved, common sense starts to prevail, and they're saying, we'll see what we can do. Obviously, there's no time to run us through to the, another 10 minutes has gone by this point. So our flight's going to board in 15 minutes, start boarding in 15 minutes. It's due to take off in 25 minutes, and so they're trying to find places where they can get to that's not going to involve going through customs, which, of course, as we suspected, there isn't going to be any grass. Anyway, someone took her through anyway and tried to get her to go, but of course she didn't. And so we spent probably 10 minutes or so of that kind of thing and trying to discuss whether we would go on it defer to the later flight, which of course wasn't going to be until 10 p.m. that evening. What are you looking at, Snowy? So, and in the end, we just gave up and said, well, we'll just have to wing it and hope that she doesn't need to pee on the plane, which she didn't. It turns out she managed to hold on for something like 18 hours or something between toilets, and that's really quite Herculean. And fortunately for us, she slept most of the way to Israel, so that was a good thing. But there's really no way you could have relied on that being the case. Anyway, so we go through the security and we get on the plane at the time that it was scheduled to take off. We were worried that we'd be holding up the aircraft. We actually hadn't been. Anyway, there's a few issues here. One of them is that when we booked the aircraft, we were told that special assistance for blind people cannot be guaranteed unless you're in a wheelchair. Now, I suspect that this is partly to do with the fact that the specialist assistance is outsourced rather than conducted by the airline's own staff. And I get that from an efficiency point of view. If you've got a whole lot of airlines in an airport and only a handful of passengers needing assistance, you may as well share around the work. Okay, that's fine, I get that. However, as I said to a couple of people when I discovered this, special assistance for a blind person is just as essential as it is for a person in a wheelchair. Granted, a person in a wheelchair is probably not going to be able to go very far without the assistance, but neither is a blind person. An airport is an extremely big, complicated space, and a person who cannot see or cannot see very well is going to be floundering about absolutely lost and would be foolish to try getting anywhere. So a person who is blind, and I'm not saying that any other disabilities don't need the assistance just as much, they may well do, but I can only speak from my own experience, and a blind person needs assistance just as much as a person in a wheelchair does, arguably more if a person in the wheelchair is actually able to power the chair themselves. But anyway, I digress. So if a person in a wheelchair can be guaranteed assistance, then I think we should as well. Secondly, I think there should be a mechanism for describing the kind of assistance needed. As it normally is at the moment, you can only put in a request for assistance, and that's about it. Life may have been a lot easier if we'd been able to express in our booking exactly what kind of assistance we needed and what kind of things needed to be in place. The reason why we had such a good experience on the way over and such a bad experience on the way back is because the person we were dealing with, it was down to the people we were dealing with. But in both cases, they didn't know exactly what we needed until we got there, and it would have been much better if we could tell them in advance. So that's the second thing. Let me see how much space I have left here. if it's going to tell me.